Support for the Source podcast comes from UT Health San Antonio, South Texas' largest academic research institution, where what is discovered in its labs translates into life-changing patient care. More at groundbreakingresearch.org.
Live from the John L. Santico studio, this is The Source from Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. In the second half of the program, we're going to hear about from frontline documentary makers searching for the stolen children of Ukraine. But first, we keep hearing about the crisis at the southern border, but maybe that wording is wrong. Maybe that wording should be the opportunity at the southern border. According to the nonpartisan Congressional Budget Office, the immigrants that are turning up at the border are more likely to work than their native-born counterparts. And also, they're more likely, because they are younger, to offset the expected retirement of the aging native-born population. And also, all of this will turn into better economic growth, which, according to the Federal Reserve, we're already seeing. They credit the surge of migration in the United States with heading off a recession. So what needs to be done to better manage the migration at the southern border that will increase the benefits to the economy, but also address other legitimate concerns? Some are calling for expanded work permits as a way to do that. And we're joined by Juan Carlos Cerda. He is the Texas State Director for the American Business Migration Coalition, and they have some ideas. So Juan Carlos Cerda, welcome to The Source.
Thank you so much, David, for having me.
So tell me about what y'all are looking for. What do you see at the southern border?
Yes, our state is facing two main problems, David. One is that we're seeing labor shortages across industries, across the board, and we can't find the workers to help fill the open jobs in these industries. The second problem that we have is that immigration is not just a border issue. It also is an issue for American families. Here in Texas, we have 204,000 U.S. citizens who are married to somebody who does not have an immigration status. And these families have been waiting for a long time to be reunited with their family member, and they also need a work authorization so that their family member can contribute to the household finances. So these are the two main problems, and the solution that we are asking the Biden administration to take is to expand work authorization opportunities for these long-term immigrant residents.
So this is work permits that are needed for mixed status immigration families. So describe to me like what would a family like that typically would look like.
Absolutely. I'll tell you from my personal experience, I'm part of a mixed status family. I have a status known as DACA, which protects young immigrants who came to this country as children from deportation and allows us to work. And my family members are either green card holders or U.S. citizens. So there are different types of immigration statuses, some who don't have an immigration status, some who are legally allowed to work but don't have a green card, and others who do have a green card or who have U.S. citizenship. So there are about 3 million U.S. citizens who live with at least one undocumented person here in the state of Texas. And these families, when they wake up, when they go to work, one of the first things that they think about is, am I going to be able to see my undocumented family member today? Will something happen? Will they come into contact with law enforcement? Will anti-immigrant laws like SB4 take effect and potentially lead to their arrest or deportation? So mixed status families have this constant worry.
Our phone number is 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. You can also email us at thesource@tpr.org if you want to comment, get a question about how we can expand work permits for people who can work. They have connections to the United States, family connections. Maybe they are migrants. They're new here, but they have skills that are needed. Why can't we take a better advantage? Give them the jobs that they want. We need the workers. We can screen people. There can be work permits. Why is this so hard? The number is 833-TPR-TALK. So Juan Carlos, what you say makes a lot of sense. What is the holdup?
Yes, we have been asking Congress to enact immigration reform for decades now. However, there is gridlock in Washington, D.C., and both sides, both Republican and Democrat, are having a hard time agreeing on what immigration should look like. The example recently of a bipartisan border security deal that fell apart is an example of that gridlock that is keeping our country from addressing the immigration issue. Meanwhile, we have Texas cities like El Paso, like McAllen, who have been seeing the increase of migration at the borders. So it is an issue that's hard to overcome because of these numbers. But I think what's easier to address and probably what we should do is take the immigration system piece by piece. And we can start with common sense policies like expanding work authorization. We've already done that with programs like DACA. A few years ago, President Obama expanded work authorization to young immigrants like myself who came to the country as children. We grew up in the state of Texas. We went to Texas schools, and we're American in many ways. So this allows us to pay taxes, to work legally, to have careers. And it's an example of how work authorization access can work and can help address both the need for workers and also the ability for Americans, in this case, young Americans like myself, to fulfill our potential and contribute to the economy. So that's why it's hard, David. It's a very complicated system, and perhaps it's better to address it piece by piece. So we should start by expanding work authorization.
Well, progressives have been reluctant to do that because they want to keep some form of amnesty or pathway to citizenship on the table. They feel once they give up something like work permits, because we know that maybe that's something that conservatives and the business class would agree to, that they're giving away their best bargaining chip in order to get something that they really want. Can you talk about that?
Yes, there are two camps who are in disagreement about what exactly immigration reform should look like. Like you said, progressives want a path to citizenship. They want the full participation of immigrants in our democracy. Meanwhile, on the right, more conservative-leaning folks want strict measures, border security, and ways to prevent things like fentanyl coming across our border from cartels, and making sure that people who come to this country are vetted and have background checks. I think where many can agree on is, you know, having both the need for border security, but also an earned path to legal status for those who people agree, you know, shouldn't be punished for the actions of their parents, or shouldn't be punished for coming to the U.S. as children, as I did. But the gridlock in Congress is such that at this point, it may have to take measures like the administration taking specific action to both address the need for labor and also the need to reunite American families. I'll just give you one example.
Well, we're almost out of time, so I'll take that example right after we take this quick 1 minute break. And I do want to remind listeners that we do want to hear from them. If they are intrigued by this proposal, this is a way to bring more workers into the United States, but maybe they're concerned, what would that mean at the border if we did something like that? Is that workable? Give us a call, 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. We do want to hear what you got to say about this issue. The Source continues right after this.
Support for TPR comes from La Fonda on Main, honoring the authentic cuisine of interior Mexico since 1932. Open for lunch, brunch, and dinner. More information at lafondaonmain.com.
The EarthX 2024 Environmental and Sustainability Congress of Conferences is happening in Dallas, April 22nd through the 26th, bringing together all sides with one important mission: protect our planet. For info, earthx.org.
You're listening to The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies, having a conversation with Juan Carlos Cerda. He is the Texas State Director for the American Business Immigration Coalition. They are raising the issue, trying to get some traction. A lot of Congress people are paying attention to this. They're considering it. They're pushing Biden on this. They want to see expansions of work permits for mixed status immigrant families as a way to increase the labor pool in the United States and to stabilize families, get people working. What say you? Give us a call, 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. So Juan Carlos, you were going to give me an example?
Absolutely. One thing that the Biden administration can do right now to address both labor shortages and the need for American family unity is expand a program called Humanitarian Parole, which provides work authorization for those who are not in the country with legal status. And there's already an existing program for military U.S. servicemen and women that already allows them to allow their spouse to come here legally with a work permit. So in the meantime, while they're trying to get a green card, they are able to legally work. And it's something simple that administration can do right now that doesn't require an act of Congress. And it's completely within the law, completely legal, and it would help over 204,000 U.S. citizen spouses here in Texas.
And so what do you think something like that would mean for the economy, and able to provide that many more workers, people who are would be enthusiastic workers, into the workplace?
It would tremendously help the Texas economy. If you look at how the DACA program helped the Texas economy, it allowed 95,000 young Texans contribute over $847 million in taxes, which goes into our schools, our airports, and our infrastructure, and wield at the same time a spending power of $3 billion, which people have used to buy homes, to buy cars, and to build wealth. So if work authorization were expanded to the 204,000 spouses married to U.S. citizens in Texas, it would have similar impact, if not more, because 204,000, as you know, is more than 95,000 DACA recipients. So it would tremendously impact the Texas economy.
It does seem like one of the major obstacles to getting something like this put in place is just the radioactive rhetoric that we're hearing all the time from some people on the right who are just telling us that the people, migrants at the border there, or anyone who's not an American citizen would be a danger, is a security threat. I mean, just, you know, you mentioned earlier when you were talking about some of the issues, you said fentanyl. Well, you know, this is not connected to fentanyl. Fentanyl comes up I-35 in the backs of trucks. It's not coming up on the backs of people who are coming across the river. They're completely separate issues, but you don't hear that when you listen to these politicians or what they tell you on some of these cable channels.
Absolutely. You're right that the issue of fentanyl is separate from the issue of immigration, just like the issue of mixed-status family households is far removed from the border. These are families that have been living here for a long time. If you look at the numbers, 64% of undocumented Texans have been living here at least 10 years. So they have nothing really to do with the migrants who are now coming to the Texas border. And it is an election year, and actually the president actually could do something that would actually help, you know, fend off that rhetoric, because these families, they want something done. And they think about it every day when they go to the ballot box this November.
Yeah, you can tell when they're covering caravans and things like that at the border. You know, immediately that it's an election season. These two things happen always at the same time. Let's go to a caller. Our number is 833-877-8255, and we have Travis on the line. And Travis, you're on the air.
Hey, good morning. I just wanted to say I think that the immigration issue is being blown way out of proportion by the right wing media and politicians. And I think the way that could effectively solve the problem of not having documentation is just have the National Guard for each state surge their legal department down to the border, set up stations all along the border, and have all 48 contiguous U.S. states send their legal departments down there to do the processing and get them work permits. It shouldn't take forever to do a simple background check and get them working. The question will be, how do we track down all of the people that Abbott bust off to New York and Denver?
Good question. Thank you for that question, that comment, Travis. So your reaction to that one, Carlos Cerda?
Absolutely. I think he made a great point about the need to vet people. And if you look at the DACA program, that's an example of how you successfully vet immigrants who come here to work. 95,000 DACA recipients in Texas, you know, they all had to check in with USCIS and with immigration. They get their fingerprints and they're in the system and we know they exist. That's how we know that they've been contributing taxes and that they're contributing to the economy. So we absolutely do agree that folks need to be entered into some kind of program so that they, you know, they're vetted.
So the economic impact of this, it's clear. It's been pointed out time and time again. The Federal Reserve, the Congressional Budget Office, other think tanks, observers are saying there's clearly a huge economic benefit to the United States from migration. And having migration and this flow of willing low-cost labor is a benefit to, you know, the business class. So why aren't they more vocal about getting this to happen?
Yes, the business community is starting to be more vocal about it. The U.S. Chamber of Commerce has been publishing reports recently about the fact that our country has 9.5 million open jobs and that if every unemployed American were to get a job, we would still have 3 million open jobs. So the U.S. Chamber is starting to prioritize this issue more and more. We have companies like Hunt Companies in El Paso, IBC Bank down in Laredo, and Amegy Bank in Houston, who are participating and speaking at events with lawmakers, as we did a few weeks ago with Congresswoman Veronica Escobar and Congresswoman Sylvia Garcia, who are leaders on this, speaking about the urgent need for labor and also the common sense nature of, you know, at least starting with those who are already here and who have a U.S. citizen spouse or a U.S. citizen parent. So we're starting to get there.
Well, what about organized labor? In the past, they have been reluctant to embrace, people coming across to become workers because they think it might undermine them. Are they on board?
Yes, organized labor is also on board. One example I can give you is a Teamster who is a U.S. citizen and got married to an undocumented person. They had a U.S. citizen child together, but unfortunately, the spouse was deported back to Mexico in the previous administration. And this has motivated the U.S. citizen, his name's Jason, to start advocating for a temporary solution like work authorization for his wife so that she can come back from Mexico to take care of their son who has cancer. So the Teamsters are one example, and SEIU, which is a national organization, has also endorsed this program, as well as the United Auto Workers.
Well, has Biden reacted? Have we heard anything from him? Is he considering this, expanding work permits or expanding parole? And when we say parole, it's misused. It's not criminal parole, but it's an immigration jargon that could give more opportunities to work.
Yes, you're right. It's humanitarian in the sense that it would reunite American families, and it would be for humanitarian reason. It expands work authorization, which is the primary way that people are able to legally work. And to your question about Biden, a week ago, the administration responded to our ask by saying that the message has been received. Secretary Mayorkas publicly said that they're looking at this issue, they've received the message, and they're considering doing it as soon as this year.
All right. Juan Carlos Cerda is the Texas State Director for the American Business Immigration Coalition, telling us more about how work permits are needed for mixed status immigrant families. Juan, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, David.
We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to be hearing from Frontline PBS about their latest documentary about the children of Ukraine who were kidnapped by Russia. What did those children go through? This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. We'll be right back.
My name is Wendell Fuquay. I'm a local artist, and I just wanted to say that I really enjoy The Source on Texas Public Radio. It's some of the best local information that I can get. In general, the broadcast media does not cover politics or the things that are going on locally that are of most importance to people who live in San Antonio. And the reason I like The Source, it's in-depth coverage of things that matter to San Antonians.
The Source and TPR News are changing the San Antonio media landscape. To support Texas Public Radio, call 1-800-622-8977 or visit tpr.org today with your pledge.
And we are pitching. This is the Spring Pledge Drive, and we're here asking you to support Texas Public Radio to keep Texas Public Radio strong, and the number to dial is 800-622-8977. For every new and upgraded TPR sustaining member, the American Red Cross will install free smoke alarms for a family in need. Rebecca.
Hi, Dave.
Hey.
Well, so we have a little goal this morning. Ooh. To reach by 2 p.m. this afternoon. We want to get to $15,000, and we are down to only $5,258 left to get that $15,000 goal, so we're making great progress. Also, for our big overall goal, we are trying to reach $250,000 by this Friday, and we are below the $200,000 mark at $199,000 left to raise, so we're doing great. Thanks to our listeners out there.
Well, I keep in my mind doing the pitching, hearing it in my head, Joyce.
Aww.
And what she would always say when we have a huge number, you know, like when she says, you know how we're going to do it? We're going to do it one pitch at a time, one pledge at a time. And she was always right. And she always had such great energy when we would do these pitching sessions together.
Mm-hmm.
And she would just center us and focus us and just make sure that we were talking about the positive things about public radio and letting people know that we want them, if they had abundance in their life, to share just a little bit with us so we can keep public radio strong. And if they didn't, well, that's okay too. Just keep listening and joining the program. So I sure miss Joyce this time.
Oh, gosh, me too. And I couldn't agree more, Dave. She really did make the big things seem so achievable. She made the complicated seem really simple. And she had a love and passion for Texas Public Radio and this community that is ours to carry on now, and it is, it's humbling. Everything about it is truly humbling.
And one of the things I've been thinking about during this pledge drive is how this is, because I've done so many.
Yes, you have. Well,
is that it's part of a continuum of pledge drives. And, you know, we've had so many people in the past, you know, first the people who ponied up and got Texas Public Radio started. And then, you know, it was really tiny back in the day. And then little by little, we've been able to grow it with a lot of hard work. And we'd say, okay, you know, we'd front end the hard work and say, look what we're able to accomplish. Please support us so we can keep doing this. And the people in San Antonio have responded. They've made Texas Public Radio possible and grow. And now we are undisputed one of the best public radio stations in the country. So I'm asking people to join that line of folks who have ponied up, who've joined us, who have been happy to be supporters, who've gained so much satisfaction out of being supporters of Texas Public Radio. Call right now, 800-622-8977.
Thanks, Dave. Well, I also just want to say, you know, every day TPR uses radio for the greater good, you know, for a better, more connected, and a more promising tomorrow. We deliver real, trustworthy news and coverage and build essential contact and perspectives for a time of reimagined possibility every day. TPR is here to support you. It's what a united community calls for, and all of it counts. On you and on your support, give today at tpr.org. Call 800-622-8977 or use the donate button on our TPR app.
I have heard from folks who said there were times in their life they didn't have the abundance to support public radio, and they were really glad that we didn't have paywalls, that they could enjoy the programming, that we didn't guilt them. And then when times changed and things got better and a little more flush, they were able to support us, and we sure do appreciate that. And I'm asking you now, if that sounds like you, give us a call, pledge your support, 800-622-8977.
The newest version of the popular board game Catan will make players wrestle with a worldwide problem. How do you build, develop, and expand while considering pollution and climate change?
For me, what games are really powerful at is starting the dialogues.
I'm Elsa Chang. That story on All Things Considered from NPR News.